Besides Earl,
look at him.
Say it with me. Come on now. Goodbye. One more time. Goodbye, Earl. And I can't go re-preach the other messages. But you all have an enemy. We all have an enemy. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we all have inner conflict. Say inner conflict with me. Inner conflict. Okay, something. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And this ain't some goofy talk. It's the truth. It happens. Okay? But sometimes there's something inside of us that we've been battling for years. And there's a strategy that the enemy has against us, and there's something that he can touch and attack, and it screws us up. And we live a little screwy. You understand? This whole series has been about dealing with that inner conflict, identifying it. It's been amazing, the different conversations I've had in the congregation and with my friends and people calling me and what have you, talking about their inner conflict. Okay? So let's go with the message now, today. And there he is. We're looking down. Look at it. We're looking down in the hole, baby. We're looking down into the grave. Guess what we're saying? Somebody take a wild guess. Goodbye, Earl. Doesn't it feel good looking down on something? Say. Huh? Instead of something eating you up, isn't it good to get rid of it and get it down in that hole? Yes or no? That's what I'm talking about. Roger even put some palm trees so you'd know it's for you here in Florida. Amen? Come on. Right there. Here we go. People in Ohio and Michigan that get this message, they're going to just be jealous when they see them palm trees, ain't they? You know they are. Here we go. Let's take the message now. We're going with it. Burying the enemy. Roger, we're rolling. Let's go, buddy. I'm raring to go, baby. Come on. Last week was confront the enemy. Confronting the enemy. Told you a story. We went to one movie and we saw a preview. Remember? And I was the guy who got to do all the animation and everything. Remember last week? We learned four things about confronting the enemy. Kill it. You got to render it dead. Quit it. You got to stop looking at it. Drag it off the road and do what? Cover it up, because you know how it is. With a wreck on the highway, unless they get that sucker way off the road, even if the thing is off the road, people still are rubbernecking, ain't they? Oh, what happened? We've been sitting 8 hours. You'd think you'd want to go ahead and move instead of looking at that stupid thing to the right. And you think you'd want to move instead of looking at that stupid thing in your life. Say. Absolutely. Why wouldn't you want to go on down the road? You've got to know it, man, that there's an open road ahead. I have life, and I have life more abundantly promised to me from the Word of God if I want it. You hearing me? You can have a life that's filled with purpose and meaning and happiness. But many have resigned. They cannot be happy anymore because this happened to me. Therefore, I am not going to be happy anymore because I am now marked by what happened in my life. You know what we call people who have problems and they get over their problems and they move on to victory? You know what we call them? Champions! Say. Yeah, and conquerors! Isn't that what you want to be? Say. No, I want to be that person this happened to so that I can tell everybody this happened to me and that will be my life from now on. And I can help people who this happened to. But in essence, you can help no one. Are you hearing me or not? Okay, I don't know. I think some of you are lost. And, you know, I've lost you out there. 2 Samuel, not rehashing the story. Last week, Joab stabbed a man, a general who was a sorry general, who was really a wicked general. He stabbed him. Boom, his guts fell out on the road. He fell over dead. He only had to do it once. Quick, quick, you're done. And the Bible says, after he stabbed him, so Joab and his brother pursued after the real enemy, Sheba, the son of Bichri. Why did I put that on the screen? Because now we're moving with the message. Joab and his brother Abishai left him, who? Amasa, that evil general, left him lying in the road, and they continued what? Help me, church. They continued what? After Sheba. Listen, Joab had no problem moving on. Now, if you're here for the first time, you don't know the story. You're going to get it if you hang in here with me. I can't go preach it again. But listen, Joab had no problem leaving that bloody mess in the road. He had a mission. Listen, he had no problem moving on. He left burying the dead to somebody else. You listening? Listen, he had orders from the king to stop a rebel, Sheba, and his forces that were coming against the king. And so he knew he had a purpose. He knew he had a purpose. So often, the enemy, his strategy will be against us, and we don't realize we have a purpose. We think life is over. Many don't move on to open roads because they can't what? Get what? Past their what? They can't get what? Past their past. Past hurts. Past relationships. Oh, you just don't understand how much I loved them and I loved them and I loved them. They're gone. Are you hearing me? Absolute. G-O-N-E, gone. Okay? Past what? Failures. Yeah, but I failed. Yeah, you failed. You got an F, okay? There's another class, maybe. You listening? I know if you're visiting today, you think I'm a crazy man. This is absolutely normal. Normal for me, not normal for where you come from. The key word to getting over past anything is the word what? Past, man. Past. What have you got to do to it? Kill it. Quit it. Drag it. Cover it up. And then what? Know it what? Open road ahead, baby. Open road ahead. Now. Isn't that pretty? Wouldn't you like that? I love Colorado. Don't you, Pastor? Linda, where are you? Don't you love Colorado? Had a church there for many years. Amen. Listen, can I see Colorado again? I go to Colorado in the summer. Will y'all pardon me just for a moment? Isn't that nice, though? What if the mess is right in front of you? What if the mess is right here? What if the mess is right here? You wouldn't even see this, would you? Say, church, listen to me. If the mess is right here, I won't see this, will I? Say. But if the mess is back here and I'm standing here, what am I looking at? See? That's where we're headed today. How can we bury that enemy? Let's talk about it. Here we go. That's what we're doing. We're burying the enemy. Now, with Amasa's body, what happened after the general stabbed that evil general and his body was laying in the road, Joab and his brother went on to get Sheba and the troops that were with Joab. No problem. Boom! But there was a problem with the evil general's troops that had been loyal to him. Even though they were Israelites, they saw their general's dead body laying in the road all bloody in a mess. And even though they knew he was dead, and they knew Joab was the general, they still had a problem with that body laying in the road. It wasn't they couldn't get around the body. They could get around it. It was the looking at it, the staring at it, the thinking about it, that slowed all the troops down and nobody was moving. The Bible says the whole army stood what? Still. Are you listening? So they stood still until a man grabbed that body, drug it out of the road, covered it up, and then everybody, say it with me, everybody what? Come on, say it again. Everybody did what? One more time, everybody did what? Went on with Joab to hunt down and kill who? Which was really what it was all about anyway. You can miss your purpose. I can miss my purpose. There's so many good things in life whenever we don't deal with that inner conflict, that thing inside of us. Now, I'm not saying this is not easy, my friend. Your thing's different than my thing. But until we deal with that, you're just really never going to be able to fight the way you ought to be able to fight. And live the way you ought to be able to live. You listening? Okay. Let's keep going. So now let's go with the story. I'm excited. Here we go. Had to get you there. And he went, this is Joab. Joab's moving on.
we're gone. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel. Like Cain and Abel. This is a town called Abel. And to Beth Machah. And all the Berites. And they were gathered together, and they went also after him. And they came and besieged him, Sheba. They besieged Sheba in the town of Abel. And they cast up a bank against the city. And they stood in the trench. This was a town, imagine it looking like Jericho with walls. And maybe a moat around the town. A ditch to keep the enemy from being able to get across easily. Well, let me tell you something. They didn't know Joab. And he had his whole army and everybody else was with him now, too. And so what they would do back in the day, according to my trips and things I've gone over there and seen and excavating and all that kind of stuff and what you read in books, what they would do, and there's a trench like that in a walled city, they'd get all the soldiers, you're talking thousands and thousands, picking up rocks, and they would just fill that thing in. Got it? And then if it's a walled city, they'd start piling on them up. And making them a rampart up the side. You understand? Huh. They know where he's at. He's inside. It's not a problem. You ain't coming out. We're coming in. You understand? Is he looking back at Amasa's body in the road? That's so far behind, ain't even funny. And so they besieged him in Abel. They cast up a bank against the city, and it stood, and it stood the trench. And all the people that were with Joab started battering the wall. To do what with the wall? To throw it down. But wait a minute. How many last week went ahead and read this because you just want to see what happened? There's a few of you. All righty. Then cried a wise woman. You've got to say wise woman with me. Wise? Come on. Now listen. Thank you. There she is. Then cried a wise woman out of the city. So they're about to tear this city down. And a woman comes out. An old woman comes out. Can you see this? All the men inside doing nothing. Out comes this little old lady. I can see her. And she says, "Hear, hear. Say, I pray you, Joab, come here that I can talk with you." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "That's me." And she said unto him, "Hear the words of your handmaid." And he said, "I'm listening." So she spoke and said, "They were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel." And so they would end the matter. What's she saying? Now listen, come on, hang in here. Uh-oh, cut it off. Please, please, please. They didn't have cell phones here. Here we go. You listening? Shh. Are you all right? I'm the only one messed up. Here we go. She said, "Sir, back from where we come from, around these parts, we think it's good to get some advice and some counsel. And so I've come out to speak to you and see what we can do about this situation. Y'all with me?" And she said, "I'm one of them that are peaceful, and I'm faithful in all of Israel." And she says, "Sir, you seeking to destroy a city and a mother and a lot of other mothers in Israel. Why are you going to swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" So here he is about to destroy this city. This little old lady comes out. Says, wants a word with him, and said, "Look, why are you wanting to do such a thing? That's a pretty nice place. I lived here my whole life. And you got all these other women here. There ain't nobody going to be having no more babies around here if you do what you're doing. Why would you do that? And Joab answered and said, far be it. Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy anything. Listen, that's not why I'm here. But if it has to happen, it'll happen. You understand? That's not why I'm here, destroy this town. But let me tell you something. There's a man of Mount Ephraim. His name is what? Sheba. He's the son of Bichri. He's lifted up his hand against the king, against David. Now you deliver him, and I'll depart from this city. I ain't going anywhere without him. You got it, ma'am? I don't care who you are. You listen to me? And the woman said unto Joab, behold, we'll throw his head over to you in just a little bit. Are y'all okay? Then the woman went in to the people in her wisdom, and they cut off this man Sheba's head and cast it over the wall to Joab. Can you see it coming? Woo. I'm sorry, this man had destroyed many people's lives. Don't feel sorry for him. Nobody's going to take back your life but you. Nobody's going to move forward with your life but you. Nobody's going to fight the enemy in your life but you. You hearing me or not? Okay? Well, I don't know. That's not very Christian. Yeah. So many people that talk like that get zero done in their life. You hear me say? The devil's a liar. The devil's a roaring lion. The devil's a thief. He's an old serpent. He's a dragon. He's the wicked one. If he'd have his way with it, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross, and you'd go to hell. Okay? And if you're a believer in Christ, he doesn't have your soul. No, he can't send you to hell, that's for sure. You're not going to go to hell. I believe that. However, he's going to fight you tooth and nail. Somebody's got to take some action here. You listening? So that head came flying over the wall, and guess what? Cast it right out to Joab. Well, there's the head. Yeah, that's what he looked like. That's him. And he blew a trumpet, and they retreat. They retired from the city. That means they left. They didn't want to go there anyway. Every man do his what? And Joab, he went back where? He went back home. You think he was fine, say? You think he was glad the way it all shook down? Sure, sure. Mission accomplished. Let's talk about it. What's that got to do with me, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Future battles and struggles, if you'll listen, future battles and struggles become much more manageable when I get past the inner conflict that's been dogging me. Was that too difficult, what Joab just did? Yes or no? Really wasn't that difficult. Could have took a lot more work. They got past that thing laying in the road, that bloody mess. Covered it up, moved it on. And you'll be surprised in your own life when you do that, how things are going to be more manageable for you. Amen? But now if the enemy can make you believe you can't get over it, you can't get past it, you can't do it, there's no way, you know, you're beaten, you're down, you're done, you're finished, you're toast, you're history. But if you can get past that, you're going to find out he's the liar that he's always been and the deceiver he's always been. You understand? Keep looking. Joab didn't worry about the dead. No, if Mesa's dead back there, he didn't worry about it. He didn't look back. Joab went on down the road. When it was time to go on down the road and get Sheba, that's what he did. Because Joab had a purpose and Joab had a mission. Okay, and you have that in your life and I have that in my life. And guess what Joab did? He accomplished it with what? This is really important to the story. He accomplished it with what? One more time. He accomplished it with ease. I don't know about you. It is hard to fight a battle when something's hanging on you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, runners run with the lightest little something they can put on. You understand? Fighters try to get to that weight. You know what I mean? It's hard to fight when something's hanging on you. But to lose that thing, to bury that inner conflict, to have victory over that thing that's been holding you captive and hurting you and dogging you, man, to put that thing down once and forever, listen to me, you can run like the wind. You got to believe that. There's life for me. What life? The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I'm come that you might have what? Life. And life more abundantly. And that life's not like a lot of TV preachers will teach about a Cadillac or money or this or that or the other. No, it's a life, man. It's living free. It's living victoriously. Not without pain, not without battles, not without struggle, but knowing I can do all things through Christ. I can get up every day knowing I can make it. Amen. That's what you can have. Not every battle is as tough as the one that's holding you back right now. Out of the whole message I wrote this week, that was the line that stood out when I was writing at my desk. Not every battle is as tough, Gary, as the one that's holding you back right now. Are you listening? You don't understand. It's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. I wish you could see yourself moving on and the head being thrown over the wall. Not the head of your enemy. Don't get me wrong. The head of whatever that thing is facing you next time. You understand? Not every battle you fight is going to be as tough as the one that's holding you back right now. Most likely, if you deal with this inner conflict, this thing that's really been the struggle in your life, most likely the battles in the future, you're going to have them. But you're going to have victory behind you. You're going to have confidence and good things are going to happen. Keep looking. You're going to be able to move forward. Listen, you're going to get strength and you're going to get more confident in Christ. And in verses like this, when you read them in the Scripture, it's going to come alive. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not going to be just something stuck on your refrigerator. Amen. Come on. So what did Joab do after the old head came over the wall? He blew the trumpet, victory, and he went back home, rest. Now, I'm not done with the message. I think you think we're done. No. Uh-uh. Why would I quit early? Here we go. Wouldn't victory... Go ahead and look at the clock. It doesn't affect me. Here we go. Listen, here we go. Look, victory and rest. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you like that in your life? Well, let's go find out about it. Let's go find out a little bit more about it. How can I do that? Well, I saw Joab, and that was a story in the Old Testament preacher, and I know you're taking him story. I don't do that very often, take stories and try to make them for our life. But it was like a movie. Remember me talking about a movie? I can learn something from a movie. Sometimes I can see myself in a movie. You know? I don't know if you can do that, but I can enter into a movie sometime. I can get something out of it. Wow, I was sort of like, I know, I felt, you know what I'm saying? That's sort of what that was about. Now let's go get some practical stuff from Jesus. Here we go. Luke 9. Are y'all with me? Luke 9. How, Pastor, can I bury the enemy? Can you give me some help to move forward, to have that confidence? Absolutely. Let's go look at it. It came to pass, Jesus and His disciples, it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up. Actually, He was going to go on to Jerusalem and give His life and be received up, raised from the dead. This whole mission was coming to fruition. It came to pass when the time was come that Jesus should be received up, that He steadfastly set His face toward where? Jerusalem. He knew where He was going. Jesus knew He had a purpose. Jesus knew He had a mission. He knew where He was headed in life. And though things distracted Him, He kept looking forward. And He sent messengers before His face, and they went on, and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. But was He going to Samaria? Was that where He was headed? No, He was headed where? To the cross. To Jerusalem. And they didn't receive Him in Samaria because His face was though as He would go to where? Now listen to me. They didn't receive Him when He got to Samaria. Not that they didn't like Him or something like that. But you know, He wasn't really coming to see them. He was coming to spend the night or just stay a little while. he was really going somewhere else. And they took a little offense to it. You understand? He's just lodging there. And they took a little offense to it. And when his disciples, James and John, saw what? That they took a little offense to it. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire come down from heaven and consume them all? Because they'd been doing a little power thing out on the road. You know, the disciples? They're pretty excited about it. So, because they didn't receive you, you want me to just strike them all dead? But Jesus turned and rebuked his disciples. And he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of right now. Basically what he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Remember when he said that? So, that same idea. What are you doing? No, that's not what we're about, guys. For the Son of Man has not come to what? Destroy men's lives, but to what? And they went on to another village. Okay, wait a minute. That's not what we're talking about, but we're getting somewhere. Watch it. Now it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air, they've got nests. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Do you really know what you're saying, son? Following me? And he said unto another, Jesus did, follow me. But he said, well, Lord, I'll do that, but allow me first to go and bury my what? Now keep looking. And Jesus said unto him, say it with me, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are at home and those at my what? Now don't go sleep on me. We're getting somewhere. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit, say fit, for the kingdom of God. Now, Pastor, what has that got to do with me burying the enemy? What has that got to do in the final chapter of saying goodbye to Earl? That inner conflict. Let's learn from Jesus. Though Earl is in the ground, Earl's going to be pulling on your pants leg. You understand? You can't be hanging around the graveyard. All right? I mean, that thing is going to be pulling. Okay? Sounds a little spooky, don't it? If I'm really going to get past my past and bury my inner conflict, a couple of things have got to happen. Here we go. Three things. I must focus. That's what Jesus did. He set his face. Is that right? Did he set his face towards Jerusalem? I must focus. If you're really going to get that past in your past, you've got to focus towards your future. Number two, you've got to follow Christ. You've got to follow Christ. You must follow Christ. Christ went all the way to the end, didn't he say? You've got to follow him. You've got to walk in his steps. You've got to think like he thinks. You've got to let that mind be in you. We've already talked about that. Number three, you must what? Forget. You must forget. You must forget. And you can argue with me right now, but I can't. It happened, and I can't forget it. I ain't asking you to go like forget everything in your brain. I know you can't. But so often we keep thinking about it and that kind of stuff, and bringing it up and what have you. That's the kind of forgetting I'm talking about. Are you listening? You got to forget. When I go back, and when I look back, I am not what? That's it, right there. There you go. When I go back, or I what? I'm not what? I'm not being you're not in shape. You can't live for Christ. You can't live victoriously. You can't be the person your family. You can't be the person in this community needs. When you look back or you go back, you are not what? Fit. You're just not fit to follow Christ. You're not fit to do the thing He has for you in your life, the purpose that He has for your life. You can't see straight. I can't plow straight. And I can't live straight when I'm going back or I'm looking back. In the old time day, you farmers, you know this. You would look out there and you would find something out on the end. You'd set your eye towards it. And you put that old plow in front of you. And you'd plant. If it was with an animal, fine. Or even if it's on a tractor. You know, or a tiller. You try to find something down there to keep that thing straight. Even when you're hoeing with a hoe. And you're making a furrow. You try to, you know what I'm saying? Try to do, keep it, you know what I'm saying? When you don't do that, when you look back or you go back, you're not fit, man. You can't think straight, see straight, plow straight, live straight. And you ain't going straight. Here's me. When I do that, I'm zigzaggy. And I'm all screwed up. Aren't you tired of being all screwed up or not? I might just be talking to six of you in here that understands what I'm saying today. But if I spent my life with six of you whose life now can go on for some positive things for God and in your life, that's incredible. Amen? All zigzaggy. That's not God's will. His will for me is to have an abundant life. You know? He wants me to live life to the full. Now, things I've learned from this passage, and I'm almost done, but it's really important. Two things the enemy uses to keep us from realizing our purpose and our destiny, Jesus Christ hit them in this passage. And I thought about my years as counseling people and my own personal life. Did he ever hit the two things on the head? Unbelievable. I have to wholeheartedly agree with what I've seen in people's lives. Two things that will keep you from being fit and moving forward, and you'll want to look back some and you'll want to go back, and it'll hurt you and it can really affect you just in crazy ways, and this thing can kill you. Here it is, number one, two things, death. What did the boy say? Let me go and bury my who? Father. Jesus loves families. He's not against all that. Of course not. He's trying to teach us something here. Death. I've watched people have a death of a loved one and never get over it. My own mother was murdered 17 years ago, shot six times with a .357 Magnum. I have so many people go, how did you do that? How did you get over that? How did you make it? Well, get the videos. You're out front. We'll give it to you today, free of charge. When my mother was shot, did that mean my life was over? Yes or no? Of course not. When you lost your loved one, your husband, your wife, who died, that child, as bad as that hurt, life's not over for you. Jesus wants you to have abundant life. Do you hear me, church? That bad thing that happened to you. You see what I'm saying? Listen. But especially the death of a loved one. You know the other thing I've seen kill people? Not just kill them. You know, by the way, death of a loved one will die and the other person that loves him will take their own life. They'll kill themselves. Absolutely. Happens all the time. Pastor in North Carolina, pastor's at my brother's church. His mama died. The pastor shot himself because his mother died of a heart attack. What is up with that? Say. You know what is up with that? The enemy. An inner conflict. This is big stuff, guys. This ain't Mickey Mouse we're talking about right here. Okay? How about the death of a relationship? That's the other thing I see. A husband walks out on a wife. A wife walks out on a husband. And I see them for years. They can't get over it. They're still burying the dead. They're still burying the dead. They're still burying the dead. What did Jesus say? Let the who? Let the dead bury the who? It's up to you if you want to live. Am I making any sense to you? Good, 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 good. Amen. Okay? So that's the first thing I see when I even do counseling. That's the first thing Jesus said. So what's going to keep you from moving on? What's going to keep you from burying this thing? What can screw up your life so much? Death of a loved one, death of a relationship. Common sense ought to kick in every once in a while, people. I'm going to talk about death of a relationship real quick. I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. Common sense ought to kick into your noggin. Why in the world would you want to stay with somebody who doesn't want to be with you anyway? Say, oh, but God in His Word, God, that's just, I'm going to tell you, that's bull, excuse me. Okay? That's crazy. And you'll be crazy unless you go ahead and move on with your life. Are you listening to me? Okay? Number two, Jesus hit it in the story. Number two, family. 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 Family will screw you up. I'm talking about the general thing of family. Now listen to me. Come on, I know you're laughing. Here we go. Family what? Family tension? What did the boy say? What did the boy say? That I'll follow you, but first let me go do what? Say goodbye to my family. It says bid farewell to those at my home and those at my house. I mean, where do you live, Jack? I mean, it's, you know, in those days there was family. There were communal living. There was people everywhere. You know what I'm saying? His home, his house, all the community. Here's what I'm saying is family tension. We don't know that if he didn't have some issues back home with family. We don't know if he couldn't leave family. There's some struggles back home. We don't know what the story is. But I know something in life. People can't move forward many times because of family tension. Family what? Struggle. Somebody's bitter at a sister, bitter at a mama, bitter at somebody, bitter because they did. Yeah, they did something to you. You probably did something to them. And you're going to keep the rest of your life is over because of that? Are you kidding me? And we're tired of hearing it. Okay? We don't want to hear about your sister anymore or your brother or your mom. We're done. How about let's live? And number three, this is the biggie. Unbalanced affection. Say that with me. Now, this is really important. Listen to me. A lot of people don't move on. And they can't move on. And they've never experienced abundant life. Because they have an unbalanced affection for someone in their family or their whole family. Now, what do I mean by that? It can be this. I've watched whole families. It's what little two-year-old Johnny says. If Johnny wants to blow their nose, then the whole family blows the nose. Everything revolves around the two-year-old. Are you seriously kidding me? We got to get a vote from him. Who's going to be dad or mom in the home? You see what I'm saying? Maybe I lost you there. How about this? Ball comes along, and they're playing little ball. And man, you cast Jesus and the church under the truck so that you can go have ball with your family because you see, you think family is everything. I'm going to tell you something. Family isn't everything. Jesus is everything. Did you hear me? Okay? That's what's everything. You know, but we can convince ourselves because the Bible says about the family, and I put my family first, my family, and you forget the rest of your community is going and dying and going to hell. You listening? Say, did you know there's people in this community that's just as important as your family? You're kidding me. You can't say that. Did you know they are? You cannot move on where Jesus really wants you to move on if you've got an unbalanced affection in your family. I don't know if I made sense to you or not. You can also have an unbalanced affection toward the person you're married to. Did you know a 90-10 relationship is a pitiful relationship, people? Are you listening or not? It's not a good thing, guys. And it really doesn't matter if you agree with me or not. But there needs to be balance in relationship. I'm not talking 50-50. I'm talking about you should both be given 100-100. Amen. Say 100-100. Or 90-90 or 80-80 or something. But if you keep struggling and keep struggling and keep struggling and keep struggling, I'm just saying, I'm not saying go out and leave the person you're married to. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to say to you is where are you at in life? So many times we've held on to something, especially held on to something that's already behind us, is what I'm talking about. Something that's already behind us, and that thing was unbalanced. Did I lose you or not? Even your relationship with Christ has balance. He gave His life on the cross for you. Yes, He did everything for you. He loved you first. But did you know you're supposed to love Him? Say. Absolutely. Did you know you can't get to heaven? There's a requirement, and that is you putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? There's some balance there. Just think about it. So what did one boy do? Wanted to go bury the dead, and the other one said, let me go say bye to my family. And Jesus said to both of them, fellas, neither one of you going to be doing too much following if that's the way you're thinking. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Matthew 10, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. I love this. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Wouldn't you like to find your life? Say. Well, there's probably some losing going to have to go on. So instead of the thing that's hurt you and the thing you've struggled with and that pain and whatever it might be in your life, instead of that being the thing that marks you for the rest of your life so you can't get on with your life, that is the very thing that can actually be the catalyst to get you to propel into the future to where you have a great life. Amen? Abundant life. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Bury the enemy and surrender completely to Jesus Christ. Lose the excuses, Pastor, I can't. And I can already see in some of your faces I'm talking today. Some of you zoned out on me altogether. But you know what? If nobody got nothing but Gary on stage today, I'm a happy man. Because I know how he's talking to me up here today. Amen? I have a life, abundant life that Christ has given me, and I'm going for it. No excuses. Guess what? No bad attitude about past hurts, past pains, past failures, whatever. Because guess what? Getting to the abundant life is the goal anyway, right? So if it means all the hurt and I get to the good, good. I'm there. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Lose the poor decision making. Now, all that. Surrender completely to Christ. And don't do what? Don't look back, guys. Don't look back. That's what I'm talking about. I will look forward to my abundant life in Christ. Amen. Roger, are we done? We good? Throw the scripture up. You got one more scripture at us. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the what? Inner man. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, that's what I want. Did you hear that? Was that good or what? Amen. So anyway, I encourage you. Bury the enemy. Goodbye. Amen. Let's praise the Lord this morning. I hope you understood. I was a little crazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.